right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Gimel. We left off on Yud Beis Amud Beis. So remember, again, we're focusing on the pasuk that calls Mordechai. We have to be focused on Mordechai's genealogy of Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimimi, and described how each of those names are in reality descriptive in nature. Now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says we're up to 2, 4, 5 lines up in the bottom, middle of the line. Kari le Yehudi. So they call on one hand, the Megillah calls Mordechai a Yehudi. Alma me Yehuda kasi. Therefore, means he must come from the Shevet of Yehuda. They kari le Yemini. But on the other hand, it calls him a Yemini. Alma me Binyamin kasi. Therefore, it seems to indicate that what he comes from the tribe of Binyamin. So which one is it? Is he from Yehuda or is he from Binyamin? Amrav Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar bini Musa haya. We'll say literally translated, Muchtar bini Musa means he was crowned with his pleasant names. What does that mean? Amrav Barachana, Amrav Yoshua ben Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin, v'iyom Yehuda. It means that his father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda, and even though we don't normally take into account the mother's tribe, nevertheless, because it would be such a credit for, in this case, Shevet Yehuda, to claim some level of connection to Mordechai, therefore not only recognizes him by his father's tribe, but by his mother's tribe as well. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, Mishpachos Miskaros Zubuzum, that the tribes fought with each other to see who could really lay claim to Mordechai. Mishpachas Yehuda Omeres, the tribe of Yehuda, the family of Yehuda said, Ana garim de misyaled Mordechai. It's I'm responsible that Mordechai was born. Meaning Mordechai's birth is my responsibility. Why? Delo katli David l'shimi ben Gera. Because David did not kill Shimi ben Gera. Remember, Shimi ben Gera was a cousin of Shaul and from Shevet Binyamin. And when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, Shimi ben Gera came out and started cursing Shaul. So David's men wanted to kill Shimi ben Gera because he was Marbe Malchus. He disparaged the monarchy. But David said no. David said no. And again, apparently Mordechai was a descendant of Shimi ben Gera. So therefore, Shevet Yehuda says that we are responsible for the birth of Mordechai because again, our ancestor did not kill his ancestor. Our ancestor David did not kill his ancestor Shimi ben Gera. Okay, the Gemara goes on. The Gemara, Mishpachas Binyamin, Ari Mishpachas Binyamin says, no, we lay claim to Mordechai. Why? Because Minoi Kasi, because remember, at the end of the day, he comes from our tribe, he comes from our Shevet. Rava says, Knesset Yisrael Amra L'idach Yisa. Rava says, it's true, the tribes were arguing with each other, but for a totally different reason. They said, Re'u Ma'asa Li Yehudi. Uma Shalim Li Yemini. Look what this guy from Yehuda did for me, and what this Yemini, what this person from Binyamin paid back to me. What does that mean? Ma'as li Yehudi. What did this Yehudi do? Top of Yud Gimel. Delokatli David Lishimi. This Yalid Minei Mordechai. So, interestingly enough, the people were upset at Shevet Yehuda. They were upset that David did not kill Shimi. Because if David did not kill Shimi, then Mordechai would have never been born, and that would have worked out better. Why? Demikni Bei Haman. We'll say, this goes back to another dynamic that really comes out at the end of the Megillah, which was that there was a segment of the population that did not like Mordechai. Not like Mordechai. So first, you say to yourself, what's the Chiddush? Right? The Chiddush is, you know, if it's only a segment, you're actually doing pretty well. So what's the pshat? They didn't like Mordechai because they felt that Mordechai provoked Haman. That, remember, again, everyone else is bowing to Haman. Everyone else is, you know, doing what has to be done in order to safeguard the interests of the Jewish people. And this guy Haman, this guy Mordechai, is not. And they were resentful of the fact that he stoked the fire a little bit. So the people said, what did Shevet Yehuda do? If only David would have killed Shimi ben Gera, then what? Then we would have never had a Mordechai. We would have never had such a difficult situation. Uma shilem li Yemini. And what? Well, look what the Yemini did. What did the Yemini do wrong? Delo katli Shaul la'agag de isyalid mine Haman de Mitzar Yisrael. Because had Shaul killed, remember, Shaul was given the command by Shmuel, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to kill out the nation of Amalek. And Shaul does not do so. Instead, he goes ahead. He spares Agag, the king of Amalek, and others. And as a result, Haman was born. So we'll say, according to this approach, what ends up happening over here is that Yehuda and Binyamin are arguing as to who has the lion's share of the blame for the fact that there was almost a near annihilation of the Jewish people in the Purim story. So Binyamin says, Yehuda, it was you, because David should have killed Shimi ben Gera, and there would have never been a Mordechai who would have never provoked Haman. And Yehuda says to Binyamin, it was you, because had your ancestor Shaul done what he was supposed to, kill out all of Amalek, there would have never been a Haman. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, the olam mi Binyamin kasi. In reality, Mordechai came from the tribe of Binyamin. Va'amai kari le Yehudi. As if he came from Binyamin, so then why does the Megillah call him a Yehudi? Al shum shekafar ba'avodah zarah. Because he went ahead and he literally, Kafar b'avodah zarah means he turns his back on idolatry. He turns his back on idolatry. Shekala kofar. And if, again, remember this idea that he turned his back on idolatry has to do with the fact that he did not bow down to Haman, because he felt that Haman was portraying himself as a deity, and therefore he refused to acknowledge this idolatry. So the Gemara says, "Va'amai kari le'yehudi, shekala kofar b'avodah zarah nikra yehudi." Because I say, interestingly enough, anyone who goes ahead and disassociates from idolatry is called a Yehudi. It's called a Yehudi. So Yehudi is not just the name for one's tribal affiliation, but Yehudi represents a spiritual strength where a person is able to distance themselves from idolatry. Kidichsiv, because the Pasuk says, quotes over here, the Pasuk from Daniel, Itai Guvrin Yehudoin. With me are literally men from Yehuda. We'll say what this is referring to over here. This is from Daniel. This is Daniel speaking about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who refused to bow down to the idols. So you see over here that Daniel describes Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as Yehudain, as again members of Yehuda, even though that was not their true tribal affiliation. Because anyone who goes ahead and turns his back on idolatry, does not acknowledge idolatry, the title that's given to them, or the name, the accolade that's given to them, is Yehudi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki ava pasach b'divrei hayamim. Shimon ben Pazi, when he would begin his shir on divrei hayamim, he would say, Amar hachi, kol divarecha echadim, va'anu yodin l'darshan. All of the words of divrei hayamim are echad, they all speak to one theme. Rashi says over here, Kol dvarecha echadin, keneged ha-sefer ha-yo omer, Kol dvarecha, divrei hayamim a-achasin, harbe shemos ata maskir ploni uploni, v'kulon adam echarin. Well, this is actually very interesting, that in divrei hayamim, sometimes multiple names are used for the same person, because the names are descriptive in nature. So what does this mean? So what do you mean? All of your names are one. So listen to this amazing pasuk. V'ishto. So over here now, the Gemara is again quoting from Divrei Hayamim. V'ishto ha-Yehudiyah, Yalda es, so his wife, the Yehudiyah, gave birth to Yalda es Yered, Avi Gidud, V'eschever Avi Shocho. So she gave birth to Yered, the father of Gidur, Chever, the father of Socho, V'es Yekusiel Avi Zanuach, Yekusiel, the father of Zanuach, V'eila b'nei bitya basparo asher lakach mered. And these are the children of the bitya, the daughter of Paro, who was married by Mered. Okay, so who is this talking about? So the Gemara says, Amai kari le la Yehudia. So why does it call Bitya, the daughter of Paro, Yehudia? Al shum shekafra ba'avodah zarah. Because we'll say why. Because remember what we just said before. Because anyone who turns their back on idolatry, this associates with idolatry, is given the title Yehudia or Yehudia. So why is she given this title? Because she turned away from idolatry. Dichsiv. Vateret bas paro lirchozes al hayor. That bas paro went down to the river to wash herself. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, why did she go down to the river? She yarda lirchot migilule beis aviyah. That literally was almost like a tvila, that she was going down to the river to cleanse herself from the idolatrous impurities of her father's home. Yalda. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Now, interestingly enough, it makes it sound like she. Did I skip a line here? No, I'm good. Yalda vaha rabuye revise. So we'll say, interesting enough, we're going to see that some of the names in this pasuk refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it makes it sound like Bitya, the daughter of Paro, gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. But we know that's not the case. She did not give birth to him. She raised him. She raised him. So why does it say that she gave birth to him? Lo Malachah teaches us, Shekhala Megadol Yosom V'Yisom B'Soch Beso, Ma'alo Alav HaKosov Kili Yolado. What does it teach us? It teaches us that anyone who raises an orphan in his home, it's counted as if he has given birth to that orphan. Meaning that if you take someone else's child in and you raise that child and you love that child and you take care of that child, it's as if you've given that birth to that child. I will say it's interesting you saw it in general in Judaism in terms of the real nature of the parent-child bond, that interestingly enough, biology is probably the smallest part of it. It's interesting. So biology gives your child your tribal affiliation, either a Kohen Levi Yisrael affiliation, but interestingly enough, in terms of a parent-child bond, it's who invests in that child. It's who raises that child. So the child biologically might be from another parent, but at the end of the day, if I go ahead and I put my efforts into that child, I raise that child, ki'ilu yolado, it's as if I've birthed that child myself. You see, now the Gemara goes through all of the names in the pasuk. Yared. So who is Yared? Ze Moshe. That refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lama nikma shmo Yared. So why is he called Yared? She yared lem Yisrael man b'yamav. Because the Bible said the man fell during his lifetime. Gidur. Why does it call him Gidur? She gader pirtso seyen shal Yisrael. He breached, he built up all of the breaches in the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaver. Shechiber es Yisrael avin shvei shemayim. Why is he called Chaver? Because he connected the Jewish people to their Father in heaven. Socho shenaase lahem liYisrael kisukah. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a sukkah, a protective canopy over the Jewish people. Yikusiel. Why does he call him Yikusiel? Shekavu Yisrael lekel biyamav. That ultimately he caused the people to direct their hope to God in his days. Zanoach, Sheizniach Avonosein Shle Yisrael. Why Zanoach? Because he cast off the sins of the Jewish people. Avi, Avi, Avi. I will say, it says, interestingly enough, now after each of these names, that now we know refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yared is Moshe, Chever is Moshe, Yikusil is Moshe, and Zanoach is Moshe. But after each of these names, it says that Yared was the father of this one, and so what does that mean? Avi, 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 three times, to teach us, Av Batorah, Moshe Rabbeinu was a father, a paternal figure in Torah, meaning no one was as great as him as Torah. Av B'chachma, he was a paternal figure in wisdom. Av B'nevius, and he was a paternal father in terms of, or he was a paternal figure in terms of prophecy. Ve'ele B'nei Bitya Asher Lakach Mered, and these are the sons of Bitya that Mered married. Now I will say, interestingly enough, Marad, I should say. Vichy Marad Shmo. Now, was Marad the husband of Bitya? Vahalo Kalev Shmo. Both say, this is fascinating. I never knew this before I saw this Gemara. Kalev ben Yefuna apparently married Bitya, the daughter of Paro. Now, what's even more interesting about this is the following. It would appear that the daughter of Paro left Egypt with the Jewish people. That apparently when she went ahead and she, we don't know when this happened, but at some point in time she left her father's palace, she left the Egyptian people, and she became a member of Klal Yisrael, which is quite dramatic. So she was married to Kalev. So why does it say that her husband was named Meret if her husband was in fact named Kalev? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Yavo Kalev Shemarad Ba'atzas Miraglim. Let Kalev come along. Kalev, who rebelled against the advice, the counsel of the spies. V'yisa Basparo Shemarda Begilule Be'Saviha. So we'll say it's amazing. So let Kalev, again, going a little bit out of chronological order here, obviously. But let Kalev, who had the strength to rebel against the tide, to rebel against the current, and went against the advice of the Miraglim, let him come along and marry Bitya, who also exhibited this same incredible strength of character, swam upstream against the current, and was able to go against the idolatry of her father's home. Very beautiful. I'm sorry? Later when? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know when he married her. Meaning, it could be that he married her after the Chet HaMeraglim. Inachinami, anything's possible. We're just pointing out that it's interesting, A, that she left with them, and B, that she married Kalev. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. Sorry? Well, she converted probably along with all of Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. She gave up idolatry earlier. No one was really Jewish until Har Sinai. So she gave up idolatry earlier and again joined the fold of Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. So it sounds like it's really... I'm sorry. So the Maharsha comments on that, and he says, is it literal geirus, or is it just the renouncing of idolatry? Meaning, effectively, geirus before Matan Torah was a renouncing of idolatry. You weren't converted. There was no Taryag Mitzvos. So she renounced her idolatry. So just amazing. It's like a bonus piece of Gemara nestled over here in the middle of Gemara. It's also interesting, by the way, because you hear many people with the name Yekusia. Yekusiel, so just understand that Yekusiel is a concept from Divra Hayamim, and again, it's another name for Moshe Rabbeinu, which is also quite dramatic. So I said the following, Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, that Megillah says that Mordechai was exiled from Yerushalayim. Amar Rava, Rava says, Shagala Me'atzmo, he exiled himself. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shagala Me'atzmo, Rashi says, Asher Midalok Siv, Midalok siv asher haya min hagola asher heglasa uksiv asher hegla im hagola masha shlo haya kishar Yisrael shegalu al karchan v'hu gala miatzmo kimosh asimir. So we'll say again, what Rashi points out over here is the pasuk should have been written differently if he was simply exiled with the rest of the Jewish people. The fact that it's written in this particular fashion indicates that he exiled himself. Now why would Mordechai, meaning that he was going to be exiled, but he left earlier than he would have needed to. Why? So the Maharsha again points out he did this in order to be able to create infrastructure for the Jewish people in Babel. Recognizing that the nation was going to be exiled to Babel, recognizing that you need a significant infrastructure to sustain a nation, he goes ahead and goes ahead voluntarily. Vayi omines Hadassah, and he raised Hadassah, Karli Hadassah v'karli Esther. So the Megillah calls Esther Hamalka Hadassah and calls so Esther. So what's her real name? Tanya Rabbi Meir says Esther Shema. Her name was Esther. I v'lamanik Rashma Hadassah. Why was she called Hadassah? Ashima tzadikim shenikru Hadassim. Because the righteous are called Hadassim. V'chein hu Omer, and so it says in the pasuk. V'hu Omeid bein haHadassim, and he stands between the Hadassim. Then I will say, why ultimately, again, if you look at Rashi, Bein Hadassah Shem Mitzula, Bein Hasadikim Shigol Lubav, B'Shechinu Mishnah Yikra, I will say, again, we know that the Hadass ultimately, again, has a very beautiful scent. It's a very beautiful smell to it. So the idea ultimately is that the Tzadikim also, we'll see the other reasons why Tzadikim are compared to Hadassim, but this idea of the scent that comes from their mitzvos. So therefore, according to this approach, her name is Esther, and Hadassah is a name describing her spiritual standing. The Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Hadassah Shema. Her name was Hadassah. V'lama nikrei Shema Esther. So if her name was Hadassah, why was she called Esther? Ashum shahaisa misateres divareha. Because most remember, the shorish of Esther is what? Is seser, is secret. She was called Esther because she would not divulge any personal information. Shene emar, ein Esther magedes es amo. Esther would not divulge the details of her people. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Hadassah Shema. Her name was Hadassah. I have a lamanikra Shema Esther. So why was she called Esther? Shahaya umos olum korin osa. The nations of the world called her Esther. Why? Ashum istaher. People say istaher is Aramaic for the moon. People would call her like the moon. What does that mean? That they would marvel at her beauty. The same way that the moon has luminescent beauty, so too Esther Hamalka had this luminescent beauty as well. Ben Azai says, Esther, this is interesting. So her name was Esther. So if she was Esther, why was she called Hadassah? Lo aruka v'lo kitzara haisa, ela beinonis kadasa. She wasn't too tall, she wasn't too short, she was just perfect like a myrtle branch. Good. Rabbi Shuman Karcha says, Esther, Yurak Rokes Haisa. Esther had a greenish complexion. I will say, there's a machlokes how to understand this. So some say what it means is she had like a Mediterranean type of complexion to her. The problem with that is that sounds complimentary. What the Gemara seems to be saying is not a complimentary thing. The Gemara seems to say that she almost looked like a little sickly. She looked like a little sickly. But yet what? V'chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. But ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and put a chut shel chesed, a divine favor upon her that made her look beautiful to everyone who saw her, even though in reality, in actuality, she might not have been as beautiful. The Maharsha discusses why she had this Yirok Rakas. The Maharsha points out that she was sick over what was happening with Achashverosh. And as such, again, it compromised her beauty. But yet again, there was a chut shel chesed, this divine strand of favor that was upon her that made her look beautiful. Okay. Ki im la'avaim, ubamos avia vi'ima. So we'll say, remember the Megillah says that why did Mordechai raise Esther? Because she did not have a father. And when her father and mother died, so the Gemara says, Lamali, why do I need that last phrase? Meaning, if you just tell me, ki ein la avim, that she doesn't have a mother and father, why do you need that additional phrase of ubemos aviha v'ima, and when her father and mother died? So the Gemara says, Amrav Acha said, ibarta meis aviv, when her mother became pregnant, Esther's mother became pregnant, her father died, yelarata, and when her mother was in childbirth, meisaima, her mother died. Tragic circumstances. Ubemos avia v'ima lakcha Mordechai lo lebas, and when her mother and father died, Mordechai took her as literally as a daughter. Tanami shomimeir atikri lebas ela lebayis. Don't read it as a daughter, but rather as a home, which is a euphemism for what? For a wife. So the Gemara says, "V'chinu Omer." So to the pasuk says, "V'larash ein kol ki im kiv sa'acha." So we'll say, this is where the Navi comes to rebuke David HaMelech in the aftermath of the episode with Bathsheba. But he gives David a mashal, he gives him a parable, and he says it's like a poor man who only has one little sheep, Asher Kana, that he bought. V'yichya v'tigdal imo, he grows with that sheep, the sheep grows with him. V'im kalbanav, with his family, yachtov, together. Mipita tochal, the sheep eats from his bread. Umikozo tishta, the sheep drinks from his cup. Ubecheko tishkov, and the sheep literally sleeps by him. Vatihilo kibas, and the sheep was like a daughter. Mishum de becheko tishkov, havele kibas, the Gemara says, because the sheep sleeps in his chest, therefore it's like a daughter. Ela libayis. Rather, again, what it means over here is that the sheep, I mean, it sounds like a little bit strange to say, but then everyone's making a point, the sheep was like a wife, that just like a wife sleeps next to her husband, so too, again, the sheep slept close to its master. So the point of Rabosai is what? Remember, again, David, the Navi was trying to give David HaMelech the mashal, that David HaMelech had everything. Uriah Achit, he had one little sheep, Bathsheba, bless you, one little sheep, Bathsheba, and yet David felt compelled to go ahead and take that sheep. So the point over here is that Bas is sometimes vocalized as Bais. The Gemara is suggesting over here, so too by Mordechai and Esther. When it says he took her as a daughter, she wasn't really a daughter to him. Rather, she was a wife to him. Ve'es Sheva Hanaros. Remember, the Megillah says that when Esther was taken to the harem of the king, she was given seven maidens. Amarava Shahai Samona Bohenyame Shavis. Also, it's very interesting. You know, I guess in the harem, there wasn't always a way to track time. So what did she do? Seven maidens corresponded to the 7 days of the week. And that's how Esther, depending on who was on call that day. Weren't there 8 days in the week? 8 days in the week?
Yeah.
Why?
In
the Persian calendar?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least, maybe if there were, the truth is 7 days of the week for Shabbos. That's what she's concerned about, Shabbos Kodesh. So the Gemara says, therefore, she went ahead and you keep this up, I'm taking away that hot chocolate. So what happens? So Rava says that's how she kept track of Shabbos. Vayishanes Narosal. Rava says, actually, again, very interesting. So the Megillah says that, let me read you this phrase, Vayishaneha ve'es naroseha, literally, and things were changed for Esther. What does that mean? Amarav she'achila ma'achal Yehudi. Esther was able to request the kosher diet, right? She was able to go ahead and get kosher food. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, she'achila kadli dechaziri. I will say, kadli dechaziri means bacon from a fatty hog. Bigger from a fatty hog. The idea over here is that Esther Malka had no choice but to eat non-kosher food because, again, there was nothing else that was available to her. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi said, obviously, eating non-kosher food is not one of the things for which you give your life. So she ate what she had. Rabbi Yochanan said, Zeronim, that all she had seeds. She lived on seeds. V'chinu Omer, so to the Pasuk says, Over here, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Daniel, "Vahia meltzar nosias pas bagam venosin lahem zaronim." Again, the Navi in Daniel says that Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, when they were being trained to serve Nebuchadnezzar, ultimately, again, they gave away the fancy food that they had for seeds. Shisha chadashim b'shemen hamar. So each girl in the harem spent six months, literally anointing herself. Shemen hamar means balsam oil. My shemen hamar, well, actually, we're going to see it. What is shemen hamar? Reb Chibar Abba Amar satachta. Satachta means balsam oil. Rav Huna Amar shemen zayishlo hevishlish. Actually, Rav Huna says it means olive oil from olives that did not grow to one third of their maturity. Apparently, again, such oil is even of a higher quality. Tanya Rabbi Huda says, an pikon, shemen zayishlo hevishlish. So this anpikon, or a pekinon, is this olive oil from olives that did not bring a third, that did not grow to a third of their maturation. V'lama sachin also, why does a woman anoint, why does a woman shmear that on herself? Shemeshir esa seyar uma adin esa basu. It's a depilatory. It removes hair, and ultimately, again, smooths skin. Ba'erev hi ba ba'boker hi shava. So the way it worked in the harem is that the woman would be summoned to Achashverosh at night, and the next morning she would leave. Amr Rabbi Yochanan says it's actually very interesting. Miginuso shel osa rasha labmanu shvacho. From the immoral behavior of this rasha, we at least learn something redeeming about him. Shelo haya meshamish mitaso biyom, which was what Rabbi say. He did not engage in relations by day. Now remember, we spoke about this earlier. One is permitted to engage in relations by day as long as the room is dark. But lemaisa again, Achashverosh only engaged in relations at night. It's just interesting. This actually goes back to what we saw also yesterday, which was when he brought out the kelim. When he brought out the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, the one thing he tried to be careful about, although it didn't work, was to avoid drunkenness. He tried to avoid drunkenness because he thought that was Belshazzar's mistake, but he didn't ask. That's interesting. You see a very complex character who, on one hand, again, you know, engages in despicable evil, but on the other hand, somehow seems to want to try to do the right thing in these certain areas. Quite interesting. Vati Esther no Saschein. Esther found favor before Achashverosh. Or excuse me, before everyone, Amr Belazar, Melameid Shalachol Echad VeEchad Nidma Solo Kiumaso. It means that everyone thought that Esther was from their nation. But remember, Esther never divulges where she's from, so there's a lot of speculation. So the idea is, why did she find favor in everyone's eyes? Because Lemaisik, and everyone felt that she represented them. Everyone felt that she was part of their nation. Vatilakach Esther El Amel Chasherosh El Beis Malchuso BaChodesh HaAsiri Hu Chodesh Teves. Esther is taken to the king in the 10th month, the month of Teves. Yerech shehaneh nehaguf min haguf. We'll say Teves, remember, is wintertime, and it is a time where people crave body heat even more. So lemaise, again, the fact that she was brought to Achashverosh at this particular time was a time, again, when one body benefits from the heat of another body, and therefore it made Esther even more beloved in the eyes of Achashverosh. Vayehav ha-melech es Esther mikol ha-noshim, vatisachin v'chesel ha-fala mikol ha-besulos. And again, the king loved Esther from all the other women, and she found favor in his eyes from kol ha-besulos. Rav says, Bikesh litom tam besula tam, tam beula tam. So Rav says, again, amazing what happened, that whatever experience Achashverosh wanted to experience, that was the experience he had. If he wanted to experience the experience of a besula with her, that's what he experienced. The experience of a beula with her, that's what he experienced. Vayas amalach mishte godol, and the king made a great party. The Gemara says, oh, that's interesting. Why did the king do all of these things? So we're going to see the king engaged in a number of, what was driving Achashverosh crazy a little bit was the fact that he did not know who his wife was. That's a side part of the story which is just so bizarre, that he marries this girl who is totally anonymous. In any event, he does all of these things in order to coax her to reveal her identity. So what happens? He makes a big party. Avad Mishtia, he makes a big party for her, thinking that that'll make her a little bit more comfortable. She'll divulge her identity. The little galulai, she doesn't say anything. Dali Kargo, he went ahead and he lifted all of the sales tax from the merchants in her honor, thinking that Lamais, again, this would be a good way to get her to divulge her identity. Velo Galile, she doesn't say anything. Shadar Pardishani, Velo Galile, she sent gifts in her name to all the noblemen, and she still did not reveal anything. Ubihi Kavetz Besulos Shenis. So what does Achashverosh do? He gathers all of the women again for another pageant. So Azil Shakil Itzvim Mordechai. So what happens? Interestingly enough, so Achashverosh comes to Mordechai, says, Mordechai, I've got a problem. So I love this woman Esther to pieces. She's wonderful, but I don't know who she is. And I need to somehow find out her identity. How could I do so? So Mordechai gives an interesting answer. He says, Amar, Ein Isha Miskana Ela Biyera Chaverta. A woman only becomes jealous. Yer chaverta literally means the thigh of her friend. What does that mean? That a woman becomes jealous when she thinks that her husband's attention is diverted to another woman. So Mordechai's advice to Achashverosh was, you know what? Hold another pageant. Gather the women again. And maybe when Esther sees that your attention is going to another woman, she'll quickly divulge her identity to you. Rosh the Marsha points out over here that what Mordechai was hoping for was what? Was that Achashverosh would find another queen. Right? Find someone else. You know, you're not really looking for Alamailas. You know, he's not really looking for incredible depth or a good conversationalist. Right? He's pretty clear on the qualities that he's looking for. So hopefully you'll find another girl. You'll find someone you like even more than Esther. And Esther could come home. That says in our show was Mordechai's chashman. But again, it didn't work because Lemaisa, even after the second pageant, the Megillah says, "Dichsiv ein Esther magedes molarta." Esther would not divulge her place of birth. Amre belazer my dichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Loigara mitzadik einav. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Loigara mitzadik einav literally means no sin einav b'masa tzadikim l'mshalim lahem. Af liyamim rabim mida b'mida. So we'll say, literally, it means that God will never diminish his eyes. God will never take his eyes off the righteous. What Rashi says that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always reward the righteous, even if what? Even if that reward only comes much later on. So the Gemara says, "Bischar tznios shahay saba b'rachel zoch sav yatzi menu shol." Because of the modesty that Rachel Imenu had, she was privileged to have a descendant of Shol. "U'bischar tznios shahaya bo b'shol." And because of the modesty of Shol, zocha v'yatzi menu Esther. Esther was a descendant, apparently, of Shol. "U'may tznios hay sav rachel." So listen, now the Gemara is going to go back and analyze both of these points. So what's news? What's news was there by Rachel? So the Gemara says the following. This is talking about when Yaakov and Rachel meet for the first time. So Yaakov tells Rachel that he is the brother of her father. So the Gemara says, V'chi aviyahu, was that true? Was Yaakov even the brother of Lavan? V'halo, ben achos aviyahu. Remember, Yaakov Avinu is the nephew of Lavan. He is the son of Lavan's sister. Lavan's sister was Rivka. Yaakov is the son of Rivka. So the Gemara says, Ella Amrla. Rather, Yaakov says like this to Rachel, Min sabasli, marry me. Amrla in. Rachel says, yes. However, mihu abaramahu v'lo yechalesli. So Rachel says, but listen, Yaakov, I love you. I'm going to marry you. My father is a real treacherous individual. And trust me when I tell you, he will get the best of you. He will get the best, some way, somehow. Amrla, achiv ana b'ramos. So that's what Yaakov means when he says, I'm your father's brother. I will be his father in treachery. Meaning, you know what? I could dish it out also. If he's going to pull shtick with me, I could go ahead and give the shtick right back to him. Amrla, umi shari letzadik l'sagoy b'ramos, b'rami Yusa. So Rachel is a little bit surprised, and I don't know about the shidduch anymore, right? Is a tzaddik able? Is a tzaddik permitted to do that? Meaning, essentially, what Yaakov Avinu said is, I'll get right down in the mud with him. So Rachel says, really, is a tzaddik permitted to actually do that? Amrla in. So he said to her, yes, im navar titavar, with someone who is pure, you should act purely. Vim ikesh tispal titapel, and with the crooked, you should act crookedly. Amrla umay remiusa. So Yaakov says, Rachel, tell me, what do you think your father's going to try to do? So she said, I'm not sure, but all I can tell you is the following. Amrla isli achsa de kashisha minay velo minsub li mikama. So Rachel says, here's what I know. I know I have an older sister who's not married, and I'm pretty sure there's no way my father is going to allow me to get married before my older sister. So what does Yaakov do? Masra la simanim. He gave Rachel Imenu signs. And the point of those signs was that they should be able to communicate together, or signal one another to make sure that the woman standing underneath the chuppah is ultimately Rachel Imenu. Kimata Laila. So what happened? Now it comes the night of the wedding. Amra hashta michsifa achasoy. So we'll say what happened. So sure enough, the night of the wedding, what happens? Lavan substitutes Leah for Rachel. And Rachel Imenu says, now my sister's going to be humiliated. Because at the end of the day, he's going to get to the chuppah. Yaakov's going to ask for the sign. And Leah's not going to know it. So what does she do? Masra sinhu nehela. She gives the signs to Leah Imenu. Vayhainu dichseh, because this is the meaning of the pasuk when it says, vayhi baboker, it was in the morning, vihine Leah. And it was Leah. Mechlal dad hashta lav Leah. What do you mean? And until now, until the wedding night, it wasn't Leah. Ella mitoch simanin shemas Rachel Leah. Because of the signs that Rachel gave to Leah, Yaakov Avinu did not discover the real identity of his bride until the next morning. Well, so I just say, interestingly enough, this is one of the reasons why we have a badekin at the wedding. The whole concept of the badekin is a verbal recognition of the bride. That ultimately, again, that chasen and kalah should be able to positively identify, this is the woman I'm marrying, this is the man I'm marrying, and again, it has its roots in this very story, interestingly enough. So the Gemara says, Hasht lefichach zachsa v'yatzei menu shol. Therefore, because Rachel Imenu was so tsanua, was so modest, therefore again, Shaul came from her.
Why is that tsnius?
I'm sorry?
It sounds like a nice chesed thing to do. What's the
tsnius? No, a modesty in that she was careful with the feelings of the other. That's called modesty also. Modesty is not just how we normally translate, how we normally think about modesty. It means modesty in behavior. So she was modest in terms of the fact that she put the needs of someone else before her own, despite the fact that it would come an incredible loss to her. That's the Gemara understands Tznius as well. So therefore, again, Shaul comes from her. And Gemara says, again, what happened with Shaul? Umay Tznius Hai B'Shaul, D'Ksiv, V'estivar Hamlucha Lo Higidlo, V'asher Amar Shmuel. We also remember, again, how Shaul becomes king. Shaul becomes king because he loses his donkeys. And he goes out looking for his donkeys, and he can't find the donkeys anywhere. Someone tells him to go ask the Navi. You know, it's funny. Apparently, you know, even Nevi'im, you know, sometimes people get like their time occupied with, totally mundane matters. Can you imagine? You're Shmuel HaNavi. You're Shmuel HaNavi. You are the prophet of God. Excuse me, sir, can you help me with my donkeys, right? You mind using those prophetic powers to help me find my donkeys? You know, it's just funny to think about. So it works. So remember, again, when Shaul comes to Shmuel looking for his donkeys, Shmuel says, oh, and by the way, God has chosen you to be the king over Israel. So when Shaul's uncle, when he sees his uncle afterwards, and his uncle says, "No, what did the prophet of God say to you?" Say, Shaul did not say anything about the monarchy. He just said what? He just said, "Oh, we found the donkeys." So that tznius, that certain sense of humility of character, ultimately comes from Rachel. Again, I will say this idea of humility by Rachel is this humility. Humility is often and modesty is expressed in this idea of putting the needs of the other before yourself. So the Gemara calls that tznius as well. So the tznius of Rachel ultimately yielded the tznius of Shaul. Zach sov yatzei mena Esther, and it was the tznius of Shaul that gave him the privilege of having a descendant of Esther. Okay, we saw the modesty of Esther, and that Esther again does not divulge any information about herself. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Kishakalish Parahu Posek Yidu L'Adam, Posek L'Banav L'Bnei Banav Ad Sof Kladoro. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. So Beloza says, when God decides to convey greatness to a person, he doesn't just give the greatness to that one individual, but rather he gives over that greatness to the person's children and to his children's children until the end of all generations. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Vayoshivem Lanesach Vayigbu. Vayigbuhu, right? That again, quoting the pasuk from Iov, Vayoshivim Lanetzach. Literally, he placed them. He placed them for all eternity. Vayigbo, and he lifted them up. So this idea that a person is not just giving greatness for themselves, but if a person is given greatness, it's given for all future generations of that person, and really, it's theirs to lose. It's theirs to lose. V'imhegis daitu. But if a person becomes arrogant because of their greatness, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, God lowers him. Shene emar, v'masurim bezikim. Person becomes incarcerated in chains. V'es ma'amar Mordechai Esther osa. And literally, the directive of Mordechai Esther carried out. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Shahai Samara Damnida Lachachamim. That Esther would show her damnida, menstrual blood, to the Chacham. We'll say that again, she tried to be careful with whatever level of halacha she was able to do, including Hilchos Nida, Kasher Haisa Ba'amano Ito. Well, this is actually quite dramatic as well. As she was literally Ba'amano Ito, means with trustworthiness with him, or with faithfulness with him. She would literally leave the bed of Achashverosh, Vitoveles, or literally the chest of Achashverosh, Vitoveles, she would go to the mikvah, Vyosheves Becheko Shel Mordechai, and she would live with Mordechai. She would be in the bed of Mordechai. I will say, so remember again, this goes accordance with the approach that says that Bas doesn't mean Bas, but rather, again, bas means bias, that to whatever degree possible, she still tried to maintain her marital relationship with Mordechai. Quite amazing. Bayomim Ahim, Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech, Katzav Big Son V'Seresh. It was in those days, Mordechai was sitting by the gate of the king, and Big Son and Seresh got angry at the king. Amrab Chiebar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, this is actually interesting. Hiktzif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avadov. God caused a master to get angry at his servants. La'asos Ritzon Tzadik. In order to go ahead and fulfill the needs of the righteous. Who is that, Rabosai? Umanu Yosef. That was Yosef. Shine Emar. Visham Itano Nar Ivri. Rabosai, what that refers to is God caused Paro to get angry at his servants, the Sara Ofim, the Sara Tabachim, the baker and the butler, in order that they should go to jail and what? And meet Yosef there. So that later on, when Paro would have his dream and no one was able to interpret it, they would be able to go ahead and refer Yosef for the job. Avadim al Adonehim, Lasos Nes Letzadik. Similarly, God caused servants to get angry at their master in order to perform a miracle for the righteous. Umanu, and who is that? Mordechai. That's Mordechai. Dichsiv. Vayivada Hadavar le Mordechai. So God caused Big Son and Seresh to get angry at Achashverosh in order that a miracle should happen for Mordechai. What happened? Because Mordechai found out about their plan. We'll say, what was the plan? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Big Son Viseresh Shnei Tarsim Hayu. Big Son and Teresh were two Tarsim. Tarsim was a place, Tarsians, and what happened? Vayu Misaprim Beloshon Tursi. They were speaking Tursi to each other. Va'omrim, they said, listen to this. Va'omrim, Miyom Shebasa Zu Lo Ra'ino Shena Be'inenu. From the day that this one came to the palace, this is a reference to Esther, we have not gotten any sleep. Rashi says over here, Lora, it's in the right-hand column of Rashi. Lora inu shena, mitoch shahaisa chaviva alav, hayamarbe bitashmish, vitsame lishtos. Apparently, again, Achashverosh had an incredible affinity towards Esther and was constantly with her. Because of that, again, he was always thirsty. And again, guess who was on night duty for the king? Big Son and Teresh. Big Son and Teresh were on night. So what happens? They were resentful. The king is always thirsty. We always have to bring him something to drink. It's ridiculous. So, you know, we're union. This is crazy already. So the Gemara says, so what did they decide? The lower inushena beinenu ba venatu aras besafal. Let's poison his wine. Kadeshiamos, in order that he's going to die, let's be done with this already. Now they're talking about this, interestingly enough, right in front of Mordechai, or whatever, in proximity to Mordechai, because they assume they are speaking a foreign dialect, a dialect that's not normally heard in Shushan, and they assume that Mordechai does not know it. Vehein lo hayu yodin ki Mordechai miyoshe lishkas hagazis. And what they did not know is that Mordechai was one of the members of the Sanhedrin, v'hayu yodea b'shivim lashon, and he spoke 70 languages. I would say just a very good musr in general is that you never know who is listening to your conversations. Right? The mic is always open, right? It's a heck of a pinpoint operation, right? So, right, as it caught on the open mic. So that was a joke, political joke. Okay, good. Good. Baruch Hashem is in the Middle East. Not everything's going to be okay. So now the Gemara says the following. So what happens? They did not realize that Mordechai was listening to their conversation. So now they're going on talking about the plan. Amar lo v'halo ein mishmarti u'mishmarte chashava. But they said, but my watch and your watch are not the same, meaning that we're not on the same schedules. So how are we going to go ahead and pull this off? So one of them, again, it's not clear who was saying to, but one of them said, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'll watch your post and my post, and you go ahead and take care of poisoning the king. And this, sure enough, this is what it means when it says, they looked into the matter, and it was found. What was found? It was, meaning Mordechai comes forward with this plot. Obviously, how do they corroborate his words? Because they look, and what do they find? What do they find? They found, just as Mordechai had reported, that on so-and-so evening, they would not be at their posts. Okay. Achar hadvarim ha'ila. And it was after this. So I remember, this is going now in the chronological order of the Megillah. So after Mordechai foils the plot of Bigson and Seresh, so afterwards it says, that's the end of Perek Beis in the Megillah. Then it says, Achar Tramaila Gidel HaMelech Kasher Shas Haman. It was after these events. Now, these events sounds like after the episode of Bigton and Teresh. So then afterwards, Achashverosh appointed Haman to this newfound position of greatness. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Achar Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu Refua Lemaka. What does it mean after these things? After God created the remedy for the sickness. So amazingly enough, remembering in Abosai, it was the fact that Mordechai foiled the plot of Bigson and Seresh that ultimately serves as the very merit that turns the tide later on. So it was Achar Dramaila, after these things, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the remedy for the sickness, for the illness that was not yet even in existence. The Amar Reish Lakish says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makeh Es Yisrael Ela Imkein Bor Lahem Refuah Techila. God only goes ahead and literally punishes or hurts Klal Yisrael, visits the sickness by Klal Yisrael, unless, of course, he has already created the remedy in advance. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Kirafi Yisrael v'nikla avon Ephraim. Goes over here, the Pasuk from Hosea, Kirafi Yisrael, I will heal Yisrael, and ultimately the iniquity of Ephraim will be revealed. So meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks about what? He speaks about the healing, even before he speaks about the iniquity. Aval umos, but by the nations of the world, this is not so. Rather, Maki Osan, the Achar Kach Bor Lehem Refuah. Rabbi Osei, it's a fundamental distinction. By the nations of the world, first again, often the Makkah comes, and the Refuah only comes later. For Klan Yisrael, the Refuah is already there before the Makkah. Quite amazing. Shnei Amar, V'nogav Hashem Es Mitzrayim, God will literally smite Egypt, nago for Rafo, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal them. Vayivez be'inav l'shloach ha'ra Mordechai levado. Remember again, if already in the beginning, Haman gets very angry at Mordechai because Mordechai lo korev lo mishtachave. He doesn't bow, he doesn't prostrate himself. So what happens? Vayivez be'inav, it was disgusting in his eyes, l'shloach yad be'Mordechai levado. To just simply go ahead and hurt Mordechai himself, meaning Haman felt that no, I'm not just going to hurt Mordechai. Rather, what am I going to do? I have to do something much bigger than that. Amar Rava, betchila b'Mordechai, at first, levado, at first Haman's animosity was directed towards Mordechai, just Mordechai. Ulu basof ba'am Mordechai. In the end, he wanted to, his animosity spread to the nation of Mordechai. And who was that? Manu Rabbanon. So first his animosity was just at Mordechai. Then his animosity spread to the rabbis. Ulu basof, and at the end his animosity spread to B'chol HaYehudim, the entire Jewish people. Hipiel Pur Hu HaGoral. He went ahead and he drew a lottery. Tana, Kivan Shenafal Pur B'chodesh Adar Samach Simcha Gidola. Rabosai, when his lottery fell out in the month of Adar, Haman was very happy. Why? Amar, Nafal Li Pur B'yarach Shemes B'moshe. Why was he very excited? Because he knew that Adar was the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died. And he thought it was a good omen that his lottery fell out on the very month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. However, V'lo yada she'b'shiva ba'adar meis, u'b'shiva ba'adar nolad. I will say it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. But guess what? He was also born on Zayin Adar. Yeshno am echad. So I will say now again, the Gemara focuses on the conversation that Haman has with Achashverosh in which he maligns the Jewish people. And this is Yeshno am echad. There is this one nation. Amar Rava, leka diyada lishna bishak Haman. There is no one who knows how to malign the Jewish people like Haman. Everybody's got to be good at something. Right? There is no one who literally knew how to malign Klal Yisrael like Haman. Amar Lei, ta nachlinu. So what happens? So Haman says to Achashverosh, let's just get rid of them. Let's just destroy them. Achashverosh says, Amar Lei, mistafina me'elokav. I'm afraid of their God. That their God should not do to me like he did with the others, meaning referring to Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Eva Merodach. Amar Le, Haman responds, Yashno min ha-mitzvos. Yashno min ha-mitzvos means they become negligent in their mitzvos. Literally, they become tired and sleepy. Don't worry. The God of Israel is only effective when the Jewish people do what they're supposed to be doing. But good news, the Jewish people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So no need to fear. Amar Le, Ispu Rabbanon. But they have the rabbis. They have the rabbis, meaning even if all of them are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, at least the rabbis are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amar Le, Am Echad Hein. So Haman, Achashverosh said, don't worry. Haman said, they're one people. They're one people, meaning that even if the rabbis are doing what they're supposed to be doing, Lamaisa, if the majority of the populace is not, they're looked at as one people. Shema Tomar Karcha, Karcha Ani Oseh B'malchusecha. So Haman says to Achashverosh, maybe you're concerned that if you wipe out the Jewish people, literally you'll make a bald spot in your nation. I mean, maybe you're concerned that if you wipe out an entire population, it's going to leave a hole in your kingdom. Don't worry. Mifuzorin Hein Bein Ha'amim. They're not concentrated in one place. They're scattered everywhere. No one's even going to miss them. Shema Tomar Is Hano'a Minayu. Maybe you'll say, well, the Jewish people, they contribute a lot to my kingdom. That's not true. Mifurad. What does it mean, Mifurad? Kiprei Dazu Sheina Oseperos. They're like a mule. Just like a mule is sterile and does not have offspring, so do these people. They don't really contribute anything. Vishema Tomar Ika Medina Seminayu. Maybe you'll say there's an entire Medina. Maybe there's a Jewish state. And maybe there's a state where the Jewish people live. And again, same concern as we had before. And if you wipe them out, that state is going to be barren of people. Tawan Lomar Bechol Medinos Malchusecha. They're scattered all around. Vidateim Shonos Mikolam. And Haman further says, you know, their practices are so different than everyone else. You know what, Achashverosh? Delo achli minan. They don't eat our food. Velo naspi minan. They don't marry our daughters. Velo menaspi lan. Velo menaspi lan. And they do not marry their daughters off to us. They're totally separate. Ve'ez datei hamelech enam osim. So listen to this. And they don't keep the statutes of the king. You know why? Demafki lekuli shasa. Bishai Poi. What's Shai Poi? Look at Rashi. The math gilish is amazing. Bishai Poi, Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom, Va'anu Asim Malach. You know what the Jews always say? The Jews always say, today's another holiday, right? I can't come into work today. It's another holiday. I can't come in. We'll say, you know what's amazing? What's amazing is, by the way, is you know, like, it's anti-Semitism. Now, obviously, again, so we say this tongue-in-cheek, but it's amazing how Haman is saying some of the things that resonate to this very day. So he says to Achashverosh, and they're lazy. They're lazy. They're always inventing another holiday. There's always, it's said, today is Shabbos, today is a fast day, we mourn this today, we're happy for this today, we celebrate this today, we're sad about this today. There's always another Shabbos, there's always another Yom Tov, and there's always another reason for them not to work. Ulamelech in Shov Lahanicham, and it's not even worth it for the king to allow them to continue to exist. De'achlu v'shasu u'mevazil l'malchus, because all they do is they eat and they drink, and they disparage the monarchy. You're supposed to listen to this. Afilu zivuv nofel zivuv b'kil koso shal echad mehen, because if a fly falls into their cup, you know what? The cup of wine. What happens? Zarko, they remove the fly. V'shasu say, and they drink the wine. Okay, so get rid of the fly, you can drink the rest of the wine. V'madoni hamelech nogea b'koso shal echad mehen, but yet if you king were to touch their cup of wine, you know what would happen? Chofto bekarka ve'eno shosehu. They would go ahead and pour it out and not drink it. And I will say, what's amazing over here is, again, such a classic model of anti-Semitism, where, again, Jewish practices, which have meaning, and have meaning, yeah, you're right, if Achashverosh would touch the cup of wine, we absolutely would not drink it. That is absolutely correct. But there are reasons for that. It's not meant to be a slight for the king. It's meant to be a measure to preserve Jewish integrity and identity throughout the ages. But again, when looked at the surface, appears to be disparaging of the king. If it's good with the king, please write the decree to destroy them. And this is interesting. And Haman was willing to pay the king for the privilege of annihilating the Jewish people. I'll give you 10,000 silver pieces. Amar Reish Lakish, listen to this. Reish Lakish says, "Gali v'yadua lefnei misha amar v'haya olam v'haya olam." It was revealed before the one who created the world. Sha'asit Haman lishkol shkalam a Yisrael. That Haman was going to pledge shkalim for the annihilation of the Jewish people. So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Remember, what did the Gemara say before? What does God always do for us? He always creates the refuah before the Makkah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that Haman was going to pledge shkalim to destroy the Jewish people. So what does God do? Leficha hiktim shiklehem lishkalav. Therefore, what does God do? He goes ahead and he made sure that our shkalim came before Haman's shkalim. The Haimu, the son, this is the meaning of the Mishnah. The Echad ba'Adar mashmin ala shkalim ba'ala klein. But also remember again, what do we do on the first of Adar? We go ahead and already contribute the half shekel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Haman was going to try to pledge shkalim for the annihilation of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore institutes the giving of the half shekel many years earlier, that we should endow the shekel with a positive energy to counteract and to counterbalance the negative intentions of the shkalim of Haman. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up here last line tomorrow. All right, we're going to do 5:45 tomorrow, Amir Sashem, just to keep it easier.